Yeah, obviously this is the place to be this time of year. It's like the Ibiza of college baseball. They do it upright, and it's been drawn out into an even bigger event since the new building of the new stadium. And I know our guys are excited as any team to be here. Eventually, we'll all get down to business, but the pageantry and everything that comes with being here is certainly phenomenal.
I know you talked yesterday about the home runs that y'all hit in terms of transferring that to Omaha, but on the flip side of that, how much do you think it benefits your pitchers that have kind of maybe seemingly the only runs they give up are home runs? How much do you think it benefits them to play in a bigger park and kind of being able to pitch in a bigger park like that?
No, I definitely think it does. It's incentive to throw strikes. And, you know, one of our guys, you know, our guys on the mound, their brand name is to try and attack. And you get rewarded when you do throw strikes, not only in our park, but especially here, like you said, because it has a tendency on most days to play a little bigger. So I think that incentive is there, and there's no reason for our guys to change, you know, doing what they've done to get us here.
Tony, baseball, you have to have so many repetitions to get better, and it's kind of been a quirky week with a week off in between games, and I imagine the NCAA is kind of dictating when you all practice and whatnot. But how have you all kind of made sure that the guys continue to get reps so that maybe there's not any rust on Sunday?
Well, I think it started with we crammed in a lot on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday before we got on a flight. So we were able to kind of regroup, get organized, and get back into routines starting with Monday. And then since we've been here, everything is laid out, structured pretty well. I guess the difference is, you know, when you're asked to do things, it's bam, 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 and then you end up with a chunk of free time. So it's not as spread as evenly, but otherwise, no complaints from us and probably any other team. You get enough repetitions for this time of year. If this was February, we you know, crank up the team meetings and analysis of some things, but this time of year, it's just kind of about playing, and if anything, our players have certainly earned the right to have that freedom.
Congratulations on being named Coach of the Year by two different organizations. What does that honor mean to you?
Thank you. It's a lot at once. I mean, it's one more thing that I owe gratitude to our players for. You know, the other thing I think that I mentioned to them is it means we made wise decisions in who we hired around us, because those are the guys that are putting together the nuts and bolts of the program. And you know, Frank Anderson, I don't mean to discredit any of the other guys, but people inside college baseball know what's going on in our program. Pitching is incredibly crucial for everybody, and that guy is the most experienced leader in our dugout, and it affects our program in a great way. So I certainly am humbled and appreciate it. I think the emphasis is on this year, because you look around the coaches that are just here in Omaha, but also in our conference and across the country. Like I said, it's humbling, and I think the thing I like the most about it is it got my niece to say that she thinks I'm Uncle of the Year in a text message, so that's the one I'm going to hang my hat on for sure.
Obviously, it's going to be hard when you get to Omaha, no matter who's there, but with three programs that have been no stranger to making the College World Series, do you kind of revel in that opportunity to compete against the big programs across the country?
Yeah, I think that's why our kids selected to come to our place. You know, they wanted to compete in the SEC, which is find out what you can do against the best. And then a lot of it, too, was, you know, coming to Tennessee and trying to, you know, revitalize the program. So those are both things that are great challenges. So I think it's in their DNA to welcome a challenge. It's certainly been difficult right out of the chute for us when you talk about playing Wright State to start the tournament. So as we sit here, you know, ready to enter a new tournament amongst three other teams, I think it matters a little bit who they are and what they've got. But more than anything, it's kind of on our shoulders to be who we are and stay true to what got us here.
Tony, your dad is a legendary high school baseball and soccer coach. And with Father's Day coming up, we're just getting some input on, I mean, I know you're close to your dad. What does he mean to you coming up on Father's Day?
You know, he means the same as the way every kid looks up to their father, and even more for me, because it not only involves me as a person, but also my occupation. So in a roundabout way, I'll lean on the cliche. It's too hard to put into words, but I am a believer in karma. When I grew up, I watched, you know, legendary coaches like Augie Garrido come here multiple times. And I know he was a guy that was certainly into karma and things, you know, work in a certain way. And it's just crazy that, you know, we're here for the first time and it's going to land on Father's Day. So I'll cherish it when I get out of bed in the morning. Maybe it's a little extra incentive to get a win. But regardless of how things go, it'll be great to know he's in the stands, and it'll be a pleasure to hook up with not only he, but the rest of my family after the game.
I was curious your thoughts on, first of all, the Evan Russell this year and what he's meant to your team, but also how he's developed in your time there and how much better he's gotten over the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's a pride point for us because, you know, when he first stepped on campus, you know, we had just gotten the job. You're trying to analyze what you have, what you don't have. And to be honest, we didn't think we had much there with Evan. He came with a reputation of a guy who could hit, but had a lot of those high school tendencies that hitters have there. And it's a different level. We weren't sure what position he could play. And, you know, he's kind of been a parallel to what the program's become. Just get a little bit better each day. And that's what he's done in a bunch of different facets of the game. And now he's a centerpiece of the locker room. He's a centerpiece of the lineup. And a guy who we thought did not have a position. I've got video that's comical of him trying to catch his first fall for us, then move to the infield, then move to the outfield. He's become a plus defender and has really made a difference in some of our games with his glove and his arm. So he's a guy we can point to, whether it be recruiting or for fans. He's not the most important one, and he's not the only one that fits this billing, but he is kind of the ultimate Vol as it relates to the baseball program.
Tony, the last question sort of was kind of what I was going to ask in some way, so I'll rephrase it a little bit. When you got this job a few years ago and you walk in and there's guys like, you know, Russell, Lipsius, Hundley, Walsh, they're there. If someone had told you then you're going to be in Omaha in 4 years and these guys are going to kind of be linchpins of your team, would you have believed that?
You know, I don't know. I'm trying to put myself in that scenario. I think my first – you know, answer would have been slow down. I don't even know where I'm going to live yet. So it was a whirlwind for a couple years. And because of the pandemic, I guess here we are in year four. But without year three being completed, it's a little bit of disorientation. So dating back to that, my analysis, and I'm just being honest, people, you know, may disagree. I may be wrong. But Coach Delmonico was a legend at University of Tennessee. He made it to this city several times. Once he left, things took a deep dive, and Coach Serrano and his staff were hired on to fix things, basically. And it was a problem that I think needed more than just a few years to not only dig out of a hole, but get back to neutral and then eventually get back to what is, again, considered the promised land of college baseball. And, you know, we were handed the baton, and if anything, things certainly were back to neutral. And it helped us get a running start into things. And a lot of it's just those kids' character. When we got there, like I said, we didn't think we had a ton of talent, even though there was enough there to compete a little bit in the SEC. But the character that was left behind and has kind of made it through what our requirements are as a coaching staff has been a big difference maker for us.
How basic were those building blocks for the first year or two? I mean, are you, I know you said before talking about painting the weight room and other things like that, but just how basic do you have to start building a foundation to get to where you're a championship program?
I think breaking it down to, you know, when you arrive and how you arrive at the facility, when you leave and how you leave the facility, what is considered hard work, what's eyewash, you know, what does it really take to make a difference in this league? And then, you know, you raise that question, literally in a team meeting, it comes down to mentality. And then we kind of knew we had a big deal here. There was some talent, but there needed to be a mentality shift. So there was a little bit of a feeling out process. You know, as a doctor, you don't just start prescribing things. You got to take some time and kind of analyze what's going on, what you think might be an issue that could use some assistance. And so there was a lot of patience involved in hiring staff members and then getting staff members to implement what they do, not right away, just everything in your face, but slowly feel out what we had and what was needed. So it was slow. And I think it made a quick jump last year, again, because of the character of the kids. And we were fortunate to recruit some talent on top of talent we inherited.
seems like y'all's kind of had the same nine guys in the lineup for most of the back half of the year, but when Christian Scott, Kyle Booker get opportunities, Logan Steenstra, it seems like they take advantage. Just what have you seen from those guys to be ready when their name's called?
Well, Jackson Greer, too. I think what he did with Pav being out for a little bit was invaluable, and he's ready to go as well, and we could knock out a couple other names. But I think the way those guys have been handled by our support staff, they don't get pushed to the back of the room or the back of the cages, however you want to phrase it. They're worked with and developed the exact same way the guys who have become our concrete starting nine are. So when their time comes, because a guy's a little banged up or we want to make a change or we think it's a good matchup against the pitcher, they've been ready to go. And I think we're the benefactor, as are most teams across the country, of COVID rosters. You maybe have a little bit more depth than normal, but some of those names like Kyle Booker, any other year, he's starting for us every day in the outfield. So it's a combination of things, but we're blessed to have some depth on the mound as well as in the dugout with position guys.